agenda, which is 586.
Item 586, proclaim June 2nd, 2016 to be Gun Violence Awareness Day in Portland.
So let me invite up a panel and I'll then read the proclamation. Penny Okamoto from Ceasefire Oregon is here, Ken Dulio from Portland Police Bureau Gang Enforcement Team, and Paul Kemp, welcome, and some others as well. And I'll read this proclamation and turn it over to this panel. Whereas every day, 91 Americans are killed by gun violence, and the lives of countless others are injured, Americans are 25 times more likely to be murdered with guns than people in other developed countries. And whereas protecting public safety in the communities they serve is our highest responsibility, along with law enforcement officers, and how we address that and how we're best positioned to understand that is critical. And whereas support for the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens goes hand-in-hand with keeping guns away from dangerous people. And whereas June 2, 2016 would have been the 19th birthday of Hadiya Pendleton, a teenager who marched in President Obama's second inaugural parade and was tragically shot and killed just a few weeks later. And whereas to help honor Hadiya and the 91 Americans whose lives are cut short by shootings every day, a national coalition of organizations has designated June 2nd as the second annual National Gun Violence Awareness Day. And whereas the idea was inspired by a group of Hadiya's friends who asked their classmates to commemorate her life by wearing orange, they chose this color to announce themselves and symbolize the value of human life. And whereas by wearing orange on June 2nd, Americans will raise awareness about gun violence and honor the lives and lost human potential of Americans stolen by gun violence. And whereas we renew our commitment to reduce gun violence and pledge all we can do to keep firearms out of the wrong hands and keep our children safe, now therefore I, Charlie Hales, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim June 2, 2016 be Gun Violence Awareness Day in Portland and encourage all residents to support their local community's efforts to prevent the tragic effects of gun violence and to honor and value human lives this day. Thank you all for your work on this issue. Again, as somebody who hears from the police bureau in the middle of the night when we've lost another Portlander, I know that there are a lot of people here in the city that are working very hard to prevent gun violence and, unfortunately, to deal with it when it occurs. But this movement is, I think, a really important part of who we are as a country now, and I want to thank you all for your leadership in this work and for carrying on in the face of personal tragedy to help make life better for other people. Penny, would you like to start?
Thank you very much, Commissioner Fritz and Mayor Hales. Thank you very much. I appreciate this. My name is Penny Okamoto. I'm the Executive Director of Ceasefire Oregon and the Ceasefire Oregon Education Foundation. We work to prevent gun violence by advocating for effective, common-sense gun laws and by educating the public about safe storage, current gun laws, and suicide prevention. My thanks to all of you for being here today. I'm particularly honored to be here with the mayor and with the commissioners, also Paul Kemp and Robert Ewell of Gun Owners for Responsible Ownership and the Portland Police Bureau. My thanks to all of them for their great work to increase awareness of gun violence prevention in the state of Oregon. For years, Portland has been in the forefront of gun violence prevention. Mayor Adams worked to establish child access prevention laws. He established a requirement to report lost and stolen guns, which helps curtail gun trafficking, and the city supported Ceasefire Oregon Education Foundation's gun turn-ins. Mayor Hales and the Portland City Commissioners continue their great work today. In fact, Oregon and Portland are known nationwide for our work to stop gun violence and for our great coalition partners, including Gun Owners for Responsible Ownership, Americans for Responsible Solutions, Moms Demand Action, the Brady Campaign, all of whom are members of the Oregon Coalition for Gun Safety. So Wear Orange Day is highlighted so we can talk about gun violence awareness. As you said earlier, Wear Orange was begun by friends of Hadiya Pendleton, and we'll repeat her story. We are here today in honor of her and in honor of all the victims of gun violence. Ceasefire Oregon is proud to take part in National Gun Violence Awareness Day. But this is awareness not only about how many people are killed, injured, and intimidated by guns, but also about the scope of what we can do to reduce this tragedy we witness daily. We can increase the standards of gun ownership. We can enhance the accountability of federally licensed firearms dealers. We can implement safety standards for gun manufacturers with simple concepts like chamber-loaded indicators, magazine disconnect mechanisms, and the implementation of smart gun technology. All of these details are available at our new website, ceasefireoregon.org. And I bring this up in particular because our new website has been completely revamped and redesigned, including our logo, by Portland's own company, Cloud 4. After the Umpqua shooting, Cloud 4 wanted to do something to help. So Jason Grigsby and all the folks at Cloud 4 took it upon themselves to contact Ceasefire Oregon and offered their services to completely revamp our site and our logo. Cloud 4 stepped up with their own special skills, and today I challenge all people and all organizations in Portland and in Oregon to do the same thing. What kind of special skills do you have? What kind of special skills can you take to stop gun violence? What can one person do? You can wear orange, just like I am today. What does that mean? That means you talk to your friends about safe storage of guns and about the ways to reduce gun violence and about the prevalence of suicide, especially in Oregon today. We lose about one person a day to gunshot suicide in Oregon alone. You can buy orange. That means if you own guns, buy a gun lock. Buy a gun safe. Practice safe storage. You can also make sure that you patronize gun sense businesses. And you can vote orange by supporting gun sense legislation and gun violence prevention groups like Gun Owners for Responsible Ownership, Moms Demand Action, Brady, ARS, and Ceasefire Oregon. Wearing orange began when a group of teenagers wanted to honor their friend, Hadiya Pendleton. So please, I urge everyone to be inspired by their actions and think about what you can do to vote orange, buy orange, and wear orange. And my deepest thanks to the City of Portland and the commissioners for their action they take today in proclamation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kemp, Mr. Ewell, welcome. Oh, Sergeant Julio first? Okay,
yeah.
Whatever order you'd like.
You can move that whole thing down.
Slide that whole box towards whole box. Sergeant Julio. And
talk loud.
It's portable.
I'm Sergeant Ken Dulio with the Police Bureau. I've been employed 19 years. Currently assigned to gang enforcement. I've been with gang enforcement for the last six. Just kind of some stats where we're at in the City of Portland. In 2010, we saw kind of a dramatic increase in gang violence and gun violence. Most of our gang violence is gun violence, probably 90% or above. Where the numbers almost doubled up to about 100 a year. That stayed consistent for about 4 years until last year, where that number that had doubled in 2010, then last year doubled to almost 200. Last year we had 185 shootings that were gang-related. This doesn't count non-gang-related shootings, just gang-related. We had approximately 1,200 casings that we recovered from shots being fired. Our gang enforcement unit seized 200-plus guns off of gang members or associates. This year, our gang violence response rate is right at the same pace as it was last year. So we have that increase from 2010, then this big increase last year. We've been at that number, that same pace, which is, it kind of follows a national trend. Portland, when I first became an officer, I kind of thought, Portland, we're little old Portland. We're a big city. We have big city problems. I personally have seen the impact of gun violence on people as far as being injured, being killed, on property, innocent people in the background, homes, bullets that fly through homes and barely miss people. One bullet at a shooting at Mount Tabor a few years ago landed in the crib of a baby who was in the crib, fortunately wasn't injured. I've also seen the impact on the community in fear, especially out on the east side where we've had a big increase the last several years, community fear about gang violence and gun violence. These shootings, I think as an officer before I was in gang enforcement, when I first started, there was more shootings that were, one shooter maybe versus another shooter. This year, we saw this trend where there was multiple shooters, three or four guns, multiple calibers. It was very routine to go to crime scenes and collect anywhere from 20 to 40 casings, which is pretty astounding. I think that, this is a big issue for our city. I think it's a good fight to fight, and I think we should continue our strong efforts against gun violence, and I support this proclamation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hi, my name is Paul Kemp. I live in Happy Valley, and I'm the president of Gun Owners for Responsible Ownership, and Robert and I are both board members. I'm also a gun owner and a hunter, and like most Americans, never thought my life would be affected by gun violence. On Tuesday, December 11th, 2012, our family was touched by gun violence when my brother-in-law, Steve Forsyth, was shot in the back of the head and killed instantly by a young man armed with a Stag's 15 assault rifle at the Clackamas Town Center Mall. My sister and her daughter had just left Steve in the mall and walked into Macy's when the shooting started. My sister and niece heard the shot that killed Steve. My sister called me at work. She was frantic and crying, and she could not reach Steve on his cell phone. I left work immediately and headed to the mall to pick him up. We then waited at the sheriff's office for over 4 hours before they could tell us that Steve had been shot and killed. The first words from my sister after hearing Steve had been killed was, "Did he suffer?" The detectives assured us Steve did not suffer. He was dead by the time he hit the floor. As I made the phone calls to tell family from out of state and told them Steve had been killed, I'll never forget the screams I heard from the other end of these phone calls. However, we still had to tell Steve's son that his dad had been killed. Telling Alex that his father had been killed that morning or that afternoon was the absolute worst moment of my life. Several of us personally affected by the Clackamas Town Center shooting formed Gun Owners for Responsible Ownership based in part on what we learned from the mall shooting. We wanted to create a voice in the middle for gun owners so the gun owners would speak up about safe and responsible ownership. There are too many loud, extreme voices in the far right claiming that we all need to be armed to protect ourselves. No other industrialized country in the world has this level, high level of gun violence that claims about 88 U.S. citizens every day. Every time our family hears about another shooting, whether it is here in Portland, such as at the Reynolds High School, or down in Roseburg at UCC, we have an understanding of what those families are going through. These gun violence deaths are not a nightmare you wake up from. These violent deaths are forever. Steve was not in the wrong place at the wrong time. The shooter was. The students at Reynolds High School were not, and UCC were not in the wrong place at the wrong time. The shooter was. These gun violence victims were going about their daily lives as you and I do every day. As a gun owner, I take the responsibility of owning a gun and handling a gun very seriously. My guns are locked up, unloaded, and the ammunition stored separately. That was how I was raised, and that was how I've raised my son. At 6:30 a.m. the morning following Steve's murder, a sheriff's officer told us that the Stag 15 assault rifle the shooter used was purchased legally by the gun owner, but the shooter took the unlocked, loaded gun from his friend's home the morning of the shooting. We also found out that Oregon does not have any safe storage gun laws, so the negligent gun owner would not face any criminal penalties. This negligent gun owner, Sean Cates, also had several other loaded and unlocked guns lying around his residence, too. The gun owner's poor decisions have impacted many lives forever with no consequence to him. Oregon needs a safe storage gun law, so negligent gun owners face legal consequences. Enacting a safe storage gun law should lead to behavioral changes by gun owners. Other ways that gun violence has, or the threat of gun violence has affected our family. I have a question for everybody in the room. How many of you in school ever had to do an active shooter drill or a lockdown drill? Raise your hand if you ever had to do one. My son, I'm in my mid-50s. When I was in school, all we did was we practiced fire drills and tornado drills, not lockdown drills. In his senior year, my son at Clackamas High School had to do a lockdown drill. My daughter, who is a teacher, an elementary school teacher here in the Portland area school district, received training during her student teaching period on how to deal with a shooter if he gained access to her classroom. The sheriff's deputy told the other teachers, including my daughter, that their first action should be to flee the classroom. However, if she and her students could not flee the classroom, the sheriff's deputy showed the teachers how to grab the end of the rifle barrel and push it to the ground. It's a lever, and my daughter's 5'2", and it's just a lever. It's very easy to do. The deputy then told the teachers to get any remaining students in the classroom to attack the shooter with sharp pencils, books, fists, kick them, bite them, whatever. This action is supposed to continue until the shooter is incapacitated or subdued by police. I never envisioned these school drills would be part of my kids' lives. I believe as a country, we can do better than this. In Oregon, more people die annually from gun violence than traffic deaths. This is also the case in about half the states across the country. Traffic deaths have been declining across the country for the last 20 years, while gun violence deaths have remained at the same level for years on end. Why does reducing gun violence deaths seem to be such a problem for the U.S. that we cannot solve? According to an article published in Mother Jones magazine on April 15, 2015, gun violence cost the U.S. approximately $229 billion in 2012. This equals a cost to every American of about $700 in 2012. For example, the Clackamas Town Center Mall was closed for 3 days during the Christmas shopping season after the shooting there. That left hundreds of employees out of work. The mall owner had to make repairs to the mall due to the shooting damage, plus the crime scene cleanup. The mall staff spent untold hours dealing with our family, the Yule family, and the Shevchenko family after the shooting, not to mention all the time the mall owner staff spent with the police investigation, their own insurance company, additional security after the mall reopened. In Steve's case, there were about 1,500 people at his memorial service. We had family and friends that took time off from work, and many flew in to Portland from all over the country. The Clackamas County Sheriff's Office also produced a 900-page police report for the shooting. Thankfully, the shooter took his own life, so the affected families did not have to endure a trial, nor did our community have to bear that cost of that trial. There is no single solution to reducing the daily toll of gun violence. It will take police departments, elected officials, public health doctors, gun retailers, gun owners, and non-gun owners to bring about the necessary cultural and legal forces to reduce the daily incidents of gun violence in our community. Thank you for giving me your time and your attention.
Thank you. Mr. Yule, welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much, Mayor Hales. Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish, thank you so much for allowing us to come here and speak to you today.
Sir, move the mic a little closer to you. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I also want to thank you for initiating this petition to have Wear Orange Day or for Gun Awareness Day today. It's a sad time in our society as a whole that we have to have a special day to be aware of gun violence in this country. Very sad day. There are several ways that we could reduce gun violence, and as a board member for Gun Owners for Responsible Ownership, I believe that we all have a right to own and bear arms in a responsible manner. I'm not going to go over all the statistics and everything and the costs and such, but I can certainly tell you that had not I had and my family had the support from the community, my life would have been completely changed as it is. I would have lost my house, possibly could have lost my job. It has changed my family life in many, many ways, let's put it that way. So gun violence goes way beyond the highlights that you read about in the paper. People just go along and forget that people are shot every day. Certainly the police officers alluded to the fact that gun violence has increased double what it has in the past. The number of guns he's recovered has doubled. And one way to stop the access to weapons is for every responsible gun owner to lock his weapon up. Certainly, gang members put a very high value on guns. It's almost more valuable to them to have a gun than it is to own the drugs that they use the gun to procure. If gun owners were held accountable for their weapons and were required to keep them locked up, certainly home burglaries would not be so popular and guns would not be so easily stolen. As Paul alluded to, had the gun owner simply locked his weapon up, the Clackamas Town Center killings probably would not have happened. The man that did that would have had to take time to think about what he was doing. It's been statistically proven that people who commit suicide with gun, if they have to stop and wait, even just for a few seconds, that gives them a chance to stop their actions and think twice about what they're about to perform. So, again, I want to thank you so much for helping make this Oregon and Portland area more aware of gun violence by proclaiming today Wear Orange Day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions, comments from my colleagues?
So this is by far the most important scarf I'm wearing today. This one I had to go back to my office to get. This one I put on this morning in honor of your families and the work that you're doing. And thank you for being here today. I know how hard it is to talk about sudden tragic loss ongoing, and yet you're doing it because it's necessary. I'd like to add one thing to the Act Orange list, and that is for parents to ask their children's play dates, are there guns in your house? That happened to me when my first son was in grade school, and he had set up a play date with David, and I was looking forward to it, and his mom called and said, are there guns in your house? And if there are they locked up? And she said that it's because one of her friends when she was in grade school was killed in a senseless accident. Accident. It's not an accident. It's, as you say, the shooter is in the wrong place at the wrong time. Mr. Yule, I'm mindful of your daughter. Mayor Hales and I attended the gun violence attend at Peninsula Park a few months ago. Absolutely dreadful day in the rain, and lots of people came out to wear orange ponchos and to walk around in honor of your families and the work that you've done. And I, something your daughter said in honor of her mom, Cindy Yule, she said, it doesn't get better. She's not in a better place, and this didn't happen for a reason. And I think we all need to embrace that. 91 deaths per day in this country. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with our society that we cannot say that, yes, there are responsibilities to owning a gun, just like there's a responsibility to free speech, and there's a responsibility when you use the bathroom to leave it in decent shape. What is wrong with us that we cannot do something about this? And thank you for doing something about it. Thank you, Mayor Hales, for bringing this to our attention and for spending time on it today, because it does matter. It does matter, and we need to stop it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Hales, let me echo what Commissioner Fritz said, and thank you for bringing this forward. And thanks to each of you for joining us today. And when one of you said that gun violence now exceeds traffic deaths in our country, that's just a shameful statistic, and I do not have a personal history with someone in my family, the victim of gun violence, but I do have a personal history with losing a parent to a traffic accident, and it follows you the rest of your life. And if these are deaths that are preventable, then we should do everything in our power. A couple summers ago, I got a text from my daughter who was on Alberta Street, and she was about to go in a salt and straw with some friends, and a firefight erupted, and there was a gang shooting, and she was right in the middle of it. And it is a minor miracle that she wasn't injured in that. But that's, you know, something that a parent shouldn't have to worry about when their daughter goes out on an evening with friends, that they could get shot senselessly. Mayor Hales issued a memo this week on transition issues, and one of the things I really liked about the memo, I liked a lot about the memo, but one of the things I particularly liked was the mayor has encouraged the mayor-elect to go out on a ride-along with the gang enforcement teams. And it's both a eye-opening and a terrible experience. And I did it in the fall, and not much happened until about 10 o'clock at night on a Friday, but between 10 and 1, there was a triple homicide, two crime scenes, 3 people dead, 5 people shot. And we can't allow that in our community. It just is not. One was in Mount Tabor, one was at a strip club in Outer Southeast. They were all surrounded by, in the heart of residential areas. We can't allow that. So I'll just close by saying that every time thoughtful, sensible people like you come forward and use terms like responsible gun ownership, and the mayor leads an effort about responsible gun ownership, I think we should all be offended when others, our critics, then go into the media and say this is an attack on the Second Amendment. And we have to say that's not acceptable. It's not an attack on the Second Amendment to be in favor of responsible gun ownership and saving lives. It's just the big lie that keeps getting recycled in our politics. But Charlie, thank you for bringing this forward today, and I'm proud to join Amanda in supporting you.
Thank you. Well, I want to thank each of you, Penny, you and your organization, the work you do, Mr. Kemp, Mr. Yule, for turning your family's tragedy into a cause that all of us should be supporting actively. And Sergeant Dooley, you and everyone in the Police Bureau for all the work that you're doing. One ride along I was on was with with Officer Schmautz in East Precinct. And like your experience, Nick, it was one of those nights where there was an incident, and actually it happened right in front of East Precinct, where a young man turned into a crowd of other young people and began firing. Fortunately, didn't hit anyone, though if you go to East Precinct now, you'll see a divot in one of the window frames where one of the bullets struck. Two of our officers were coming out of the front door, and seeing that he was in a crowd of young people, held their fire, even though he was actively shooting at teenagers. He was chased around the corner. He dropped the weapon. He was taken into custody, and a couple weeks later, his father came to our Community Peace Collaborative meeting and thanked our officers for the restraint they showed, because his son was going into the criminal justice system but was still alive. So thank you, and all of your officers, all your fellow officers, for the work that you're doing to try to address this crisis. So we appreciate you calling on all of us to be your partners in this work. Finally, normally when we have proclamations about happy things like Rose Festival princesses or sports teams, we take photographs and applaud. I think the only thing that's appropriate at this moment is if we could all just take a moment of silence for all the victims. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's take a 1-minute recess, and then we'll return to the rest of our work.